Look at verse number 21 of Mark chapter number 6. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. She went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. She came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceedingly sorry. Yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless this morning's message. I pray those that are watching by way of internet, Lord, that you would speak to them through the airways of the internet. And Lord, those of us that are gathered here today, thank you for the good singing. Thank you for the good spirit that we have felt thus far. I pray, Lord, you'd help me not to mess it up, but God, that you would bring us into your throne room of grace and give us help in the time of need. Lord, I pray you'd do that for us now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. I enjoy preaching on different characters of the Bible. One of the characters I enjoy preaching about is John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a real preacher. I mean, he wasn't a sissified preacher. He didn't have lace on his underwear. He was a real preacher. I mean, he didn't have spaghetti for a backbone. He had a backbone like a saw log. And he didn't preach for a paycheck. He didn't preach for a parsonage. He didn't preach for a pension. He preached with the power of God. John the Baptist. The Bible even says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The Bible says he was the forerunner of the Messiah. In other words, he was a spiritual bulldozer. John the Baptist would go into this particular town and he'd start bulldozing, knocking trees down and everything, making way for Jesus Christ to come in. He was that way. That's what he was, John the Baptist. Jesus said this, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. A real preacher. I'm a firm believer that every problem in our churches, every problem in our homes, every problem in our nation, that preaching won't solve. Preaching will solve every problem if you will heed to a good preaching of the Word of God. It'll solve problems in churches. It'll solve problems in homes. It'll solve problems in our nation. Mark chapter 1 verse 3 said, there was a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. John the Baptist was robed in camel hair. He ate locusts and wild honey. And when he came on the scene, everybody was whispering and talking about John the Baptist. He's not an ordinary preacher, because most preachers are real soft-spoken. I just want to share with you. And when you leave church, you feel like you've been kissed instead of preached to. John the Baptist was not that way. He was a preacher, and they were cutting his head off trying to get rid of the voice of the preacher. They cut his head off. And I'm telling you, I'm thankful for the voice that I heard when I was a 10-year-old boy. That voice I heard when the preaching, my dad was preaching, and I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit of God dealing with me, showing me that I needed to be saved, showing me that I could not get to heaven on my own. I appreciate a voice that came to me as a 10-year-old boy, and I cried out to God and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I remember many times sitting in church, that voice would come to me. I'd be fidgeting. I'd try to get out and go to the bathroom, get a drink of water just to get out from under the voice. And I thought it was just the voice of my dad. I just thought it was his voice. If I can get out of here, I say, Mom, I need to go to the bathroom. She says, you done been 10 times. I'd take my time. I'd go get a drink of water. I'm trying to get rid of the voice. And did you know there was a voice that met me at the water fountain? There was a voice that met me at the bathroom. There was a voice that met me when I got home. It wasn't the voice of my dad. It was the voice of the sweet Holy Spirit of God. They tried to get rid of John the Baptist because they didn't like the voice that they heard. I can tell you this, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2 says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times, I believe we're living in, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's why some people can do the things that they can do without remorse or guilt. Their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. John's voice. They said, we don't want to hear that. We don't like that kind of preaching. And that woman, Herod's wife, and then through the daughter, they said, we want that man's head on a charger. We want to get rid of that voice of that preacher. Well, I got news for you. You get rid of the preacher, but the voice will still be there. I can tell you this, the voice of John the Baptist. Let me give you a few things about the voice of John the Baptist. The voice of John the Baptist, number one, was a voice of revelation. A voice of revelation. What does John's voice reveal? Well, I can tell you this, John revealed this in Matthew chapter 3. He said, there's somebody coming after me that is greater than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He's better than Jonah. He's better than Solomon. He's greater than the greatest. He's better than the best. He's higher than the highest. He's the one I'm pointing you to. He says, I'm going to baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me that's greater than me. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit of God. John, and John 1 says, you just heard what Brother Larry said just a few minutes ago. John says, I'm not the light, but I'm here to bear witness of the light. I'm pointing everybody to the Lord. John said this. He saw Jesus coming. He said, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John didn't say, Touch my robe and you'll be saved. John didn't hit anybody on the head and knock them out. And John wasn't selling water from the Jordan River. John wasn't on television selling palm branches for a small love gift. John was pointing people to one person and one person only, and that's to Jesus Christ. It wasn't about John's website. It wasn't about John the Baptist's church. It wasn't about the John the Baptist's CDs and DVDs. It wasn't about his internet ministry. Everything was about Jesus Christ, pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way John was. It was a voice of revelation. And I can tell you this, the Bible says, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. Listen, folks, if you don't like preaching, if you don't like God called preaching, there's something wrong with you. Verse 21 says, It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I like preaching. I like good preaching. I like bad preaching. I like long preaching. I like short preaching. Bunch of you like short preaching. I'm telling you, I like preaching. I ain't that good at it, but I love doing it.
And I'm telling you, John enjoyed doing it. And he was pointing people to Jesus Christ. He had a voice of revelation. But number two, a voice of repentance. That's something we don't hear much of anymore. Matthew chapter 3, in those days, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And this is he that was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. I don't like that much about him. I like meat, hallelujah. But hey, he ate locusts and wild honey, and he didn't preach that you could do better. He didn't write a book, How to Be a Better You. He didn't preach on turning over a new leaf, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. He preached repentance. Repent ye, turn your heart to God. Change your heart, mind, and attitude. You say, why does my heart need change? Your heart needs to change toward God. Your mind needs to be the mind of Christ. Your attitude needs to be the attitude of the Holy Spirit of God. Repent. Repent and change your mind, heart, and attitude. God says, at times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. I'm telling you this, people need more repentance preaching. They need to be repenting. People need to repent. Get these altars back going. Get the dust off the altars. Get some tears back on the altars. And let's do like they did back in the old days, the old Brush Harbor meetings, where they didn't leave the altar till they got the answer from God that they were looking for. That's the days that we long for. The days that we need to bring this country back to God is altars being used once again, saying, God, I need to repent. I need to get my heart and life right with you. A voice of revelation. A voice of repentance. But number three, it was a voice of rebuke. I mean, when he preached, it wasn't a feel-good message. He didn't back off. He didn't back down. He didn't back out. He stepped on toes. He didn't worry about the offering. He wasn't worried about who was there. Right. Amen. Listen, if you come to church and your toes do not get stepped on, you hadn't been to church. It would be an insult to walk out of this church and say, oh, I just felt so good when I left. That'd be an insult. It'd be a commendation for you to say, boy, I'm telling you what, my toes got stepped on today. I say, hallelujah. Why? Because that's what it's going to take, people. We got enough sissified preaching going on. We need some John the Baptists that'll preach hellfire, hell hot, heaven sweet. He didn't change his sermon to meet the crowd. He didn't change his message when the big shots walked in. He didn't change his message when the governor walked in. He didn't change his message when the king. Hey, let me tell you, if you would have read previously of where we just read from in Mark chapter number 6, I can tell you this. You may not like it, but I can tell you what he preached on. John the Baptist was this kind of fella. He wasn't a pushover. King Herod came to hear John preach one Sunday. And when he saw King Herod come in, he changed his message. And it wasn't for the bad, it was for the good. He didn't change his message to get away and stay away from something. He changed it on purpose to get on something. Mark chapter number 6, if you'd have read previously, King Herod walked in. Let me tell you what King Herod was doing. King Herod, y'all ready? This may not go over too good on a Sunday morning. King Herod was messing around with his brother's wife. Now I know that's common today. I mean, that's what we teach our children, you know, soap operas and who's going to be with who today. You can't help a generation that's all they feed on is who's going to be this and that and the other and Jerry Springer and Saul Paul. My dad is here. He can testify to this. He was pastoring at a church. Won't call the name. They was having a prayer meeting one Wednesday night. This lady raised her hand. She asked prayer requests for somebody on a soap opera show that was going through a hard time. And really, I'm talking about, and she said, we need to pray for them. They are going through a rough time. My hand up. Is that right? People get sucked into that. And it becomes reality to them.
Right.
I can tell you what John the Baptist did. He knew it was going on, and I think we need more like this. He called it out from the pulpit in front of everybody. Woo! Hallelujah. He saw King Herod come in. He said, Herod, you've been messing around with your brother's wife, and it's against God. It's called adultery. You need to repent and get right down on this altar.
Amen.
I don't care if you are king. Get down here and get right.
Yeah.
And so King Herod did like some of what some of you are doing. It ain't in there, but it's pretty close. And when you hear preaching, you can do several things. You can either ignore the message or you can attack the messenger. Hey, don't attack the mailman. Because he brought you the bills, just pay the bills. It ain't the mailman's fault, he just toting the mail. Or you can confess it to God and get it right. There's several things you can do. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm going to tell you what, they didn't like it. They didn't like it. It was a voice of revelation. It was a voice of repentance. It was a voice of rebuke. But number four, it was a voice of retribution. You say, what's that? Judgment. Boy, I can remember hearing my dad preach. Man, he would preach on the four horsemen of Revelation. He'd preach on the 7 years of tribulation period. He'd preach on the judgment of God. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm a little boy out there going, oh, my goodness. You say, oh, you shouldn't scare kids like that. Listen here. If you got a television in your house, I'm not scaring your kids. Y'all let them watch everything under the sun and bring them. Oh, Brother Jeremy, shouldn't try to scare them like that. I can't scare them like Jason and Halloween and Saul and all that other garbage. That wasn't even in the notes. Cutting off John the Baptist's head did not change the flames of hell one bit. Cutting off John the Baptist's head did not change the judgment of God any. Cutting off John the Baptist's head did not change the fact that there was adultery going on and sin in the camp. It didn't change that at all. You didn't get rid of the voice. You just got rid of the messenger. And I'm telling you this, when God's done with one, he'll bring another on the scene. And it's God can do it without us. He can get the message across, silencing the voice of God. Oh, I don't want to hear that. Well, hey, let me tell you this. Over in Mark 6, we didn't read the whole thing, but let me tell you this. They cut John the Baptist's head off. You with me? That voice is gone. But guess who was on the scene then? His name is Jesus Christ. You thought John the Baptist was bad? You might want to read Matthew chapter about 12 or so when he was in a room full of Pharisees and he said, you bunch of hypocrites, you bunch of snakes in the grass, you make white the outside, but the inside is full of dead men's bones, you're full of filth, you're full of dead man distortion, you clean up the outside real good and you look real pretty on Sunday morning, but on the inside you need to be cleaned up by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm talking about let it rip.
Amen.
You thought John the Baptist bad? Jesus was, I mean, John the Baptist was a Sunday school teacher compared to when Jesus got on the scene. King Herod, y'all with me? Stay with me. King Herod, he heard Jesus preach. This is what King Herod said. It's found in Mark chapter number 6, about verse number 14. This is what King Herod said. John the Baptist has risen from the dead. I thought we cut that guy's head off. I'm still hearing the voice. I thought we got rid of that voice. And now we got one that's worse than that. John the Baptist done raised from the dead. And they said, no, that's not John the Baptist. That's Jesus. Herod said, my goodness, we got to do something about that. I mean, we can't take that kind of preaching. Listen, John the Baptist and Jesus would not probably fit in any church in Dyersburg, Tennessee, any church in the state of Tennessee, any church in America. They'd be out on the first message. They'd have a deacon's meeting so fast. They'd cut his pay so fast. They'd starve him out. If they couldn't get rid of him, they'd starve him out as soon as possible. Hallelujah. King Herod. He said, man, I'm telling you what, this voice I'm hearing is worse than John the Baptist. Now, let's get down to the message. King Herod heard the preaching of John the Baptist. He heard the preaching of Jesus Christ. His wife and all of them, because of what he said about he called his relationship out, called it an adulterous relationship. He called it out in front of a bunch of people. They got mad. His new wife got mad. His brother's wife, he married, and like a Jerry Springer show. And she got mad. And then when John the Baptist come, they threw him in jail. And Herod's birthday party, Herod just said, hey, I'll give y'all anything you want. They said, I tell you what, we want the head of John the Baptist because we don't like that preacher. We don't like that message. We don't like that straightforwardness. They cut his head off. And then here come another voice, Jesus Christ, preaching the same thing. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here he goes. Turn your Bible to Luke 23 real quick. Luke 23. We're almost done. No amens, please. But here's the message. That's all introduction. Luke 23. And let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. Luke 23. Verse number 6. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were of Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him. Your Bible ought to say nothing. Here's the message. You can hear preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and more preaching and more preaching, and you say, nope. Nope, nope, I don't want that. Nope, nope, I'll walk out, I won't come back. Nope, nope. All of a sudden, one of these Sundays you'll come in here, he won't talk to you. That's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. John the Baptist. Preach. Herod said, get rid of that voice. Get rid of that. Cut his head off. Get rid of the voice. Jesus Christ come on the scene. Get rid of him. Oh, I can't wait. Pilate, you're going to send me, Jesus? Send him on. I got a lot of stuff I want to talk to him about. Hey, I want to ask you this. Jesus answered him not one word. What's it going to take to get your attention? You come in here Sunday after Sunday, hear the same types of messages about Jesus Christ dying for your sins, and you won't get right, you won't get saved. You still want to go and continue living the way that you're living, and you hear preaching and hear preaching, and you walk out, and you don't do anything about it. You won't repent, you won't get it right. You say no to the Holy Spirit of God, and you say no and no and no, and all of a sudden, there will be a day when you won't hear His voice. He won't say nothing to you anymore. I don't want Holy Hills Baptist Church. I want Holy Hills Baptist Church always to be able to hear the voice of God. I want our families in this room right now to always be able to hear the voice of God. I like it when the Lord talks to me. I like it when He confides in me. I like when we have fellowship one with another. I never want to get to the place to where He says, I don't have anything else to say to you because you hadn't done the first 10 things I've asked you to do, and I ain't saying nothing else until you do what I've asked you to do first. That's what John the Baptist did. They thought they got rid of the voice. Some of you thought you changed, if we just get five more minutes to 12, five more minutes, if He'll just get five more minutes, we'll get out of here, we'll go to lunch somewhere, and I'll get away from that sound, that voice. I got news for you. If the Holy Spirit of God is convicting your heart, He's going to meet you at the restaurant. I've seen it done. We had revival here, and I'm telling you what, they walked out, and we done got a call, and they said, Lord, we got to come back. Are you still down at the church? Yes, we still down there. We got to come back. We're at Walmart, or we're somewhere else, and the voice is still talking to us. Come back down here and got saved. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for the voice. Don't ever get to the point to where God won't say anything to you no more. I like it when He talks to me. I can tell you this. We don't hear preaching on this no more. Proverbs 29 says, He that often reproved, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 1 says this, because I've called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You have set at naught at my counsel and would none of my reproof. Then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Are you in that situation? I sure hope not. Say, preacher, why are you preaching this on a Sunday morning? I don't know. That's what the Lord told me to do. Because there may be some people in here right now that said no. You've said no so many times. And I want to warn you, I don't know how many more times He's going to talk to you. Because you'll come in here one time and try to talk to Him, and maybe he might not answer nothing. Lord, please talk to me again. I'll tell you this, tell you what I believe, and I'll end with this. I've told this story in the Bible Institute. One time we was traveling, singing, and we stopped off Niagara Falls. We took the little tour thing in Niagara Falls. You go in, and you can walk in behind the waterfall back over there and tour. And I don't know if you still can or not, but that's several years ago. You walk in behind the tour, and all that water is just falling down. They said how many gallons of water is falling down every second or every minute or whatever. And I'm talking about loud. I mean, all this, it's just loud. And all of us, I don't know how many, 20 people on this little tour, we're walking, having to holler to talk to the person in front of you. Hey! And the tour guide, he's got a little microphone around. He's, you know, talking like they do and telling us about this, that, and the other and all this. This is, the, you know, 10 million years ago and all this kind of old stuff. And so all of a sudden, I saw where the tour thing was over, and I asked this guy, I said, how do you stand this? How many tours do you do a day? How many of these tours you do? He said, oh, we do several. I do probably 10, 15 of these a day. Every so many, it takes about 30 minutes so to get through this thing, and then I'll turn around and do it again, and we'll do 10, 20 of these a day. I said, how do you stand? You get tired hearing all that loud racket? I mean, just loud. How do you stand that? He said, this is what he said. He said, the more you do it, the less I hear of it. He said, you get used to it, and now you don't even hear it no more. It's there, but the more you hear it, you just sort of brush it off. It don't even bother you anymore. See, you tour people, this is the first time you heard it. It's really loud to y'all. But the more you do it, if you did this every day, 10 times a day, you'd get used to it. It wouldn't bother you no more. People here preaching and preaching and preaching. The first few times it's loud. They say, oh, I got to do something about it. And then many times over and over and over and over again, and you get used to it. And now some of you have been in church so long, you hadn't come to Christ yet. You hadn't got right. You got things in your life you need to get right. And now, we've heard that preacher before. That don't bother me no more. That's a sad commentary. Jesus didn't say a word. I don't want to get to the point to where he don't talk to me anymore. And I say, Holy Hills Baptist Church, on the eve of Palm Sunday next Sunday, Easter the next Sunday, we're right around in this time frame where we're reading here. I do not want to be a person God won't talk to anymore because I hadn't listened to him many, many times before. How about you this morning? Has there ever been a time and place in your life that you can go back to and say, hey, that's the place. That's the church. That's the altar. That's the car. That's the couch. That's the bedside I was at when I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. You got a place to tie? Maybe you was in the recliner, sitting there and the Lord dealing your heart. Maybe you were, I don't know, but you got to have a time and a place in your mind where you can go back and say, that is where I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. You got that place? If you don't, maybe the Lord's talking to you this morning. I ain't doing that. Well, how many times you think, I don't want you to come in here and him not deal with you no more. I don't want that to be the case. Do it right. Do it now. If you need to get it right, get it right. The voice of God, you can't live without it. The speaking, the Word of God, you can't live without it. You can't build a family without it. You can't build a church without it. You got to have God speaking to you. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you'd deal with hearts. I think that's what you wanted me to do, and I hope and pray that's the case. Lord, there may be somebody in here right now that don't know you. They're not saved. Lord, you've dealt with them. You've talked with them. You've tried to plead with them. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to do one more time. Lord, God, that they would heed that call. Families in the balance hanging. Lord, on the verge of being divided. And Lord, churches on the verge of the devil getting in. Lord, I ask you, please, never stop speaking to our hearts. We'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Won't you stand? Won't you come to this altar, would you? Come to this altar if you need to. Anybody? Anybody anywhere? Others are coming to pray. How about you? Some others are coming. Speak to our hearts.